Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We ask for a fresh anointing upon each one of us, Lord. Anoint our ears to hear as you anoint your word as it goes forth. Open your word to us as we open our hearts to you to receive your truth. Speak to us as only you can speak. Let this time together be a defining moment for every person here. We also want to pray for those who are traveling and their families as well, that you keep them safe. You put a hedge of protection around them wherever they are in this world. Lord, that they may they always be enveloped in the presence of God, Lord. And for the rest of us here, we commit the service into your hands. May today's word be life-changing and bring great honor to your name. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Now, we have come to the last month of 2024. December marks the end of a beginning. It's the conclusion of 1 year, but it's also the launch pad for us into the new year. So I've entitled the message, Be Like the Wind. And I pray that you will inspire you, you will challenge you, you will encourage you, and also deposit something of eternity into your hearts as you reflect, reorganize, and relaunch yourself in the new year. And so my text is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and reading from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you. Now, whenever you read the Bible and you hear Jesus saying, Most assuredly, I say to you, pay attention because he's highlighting an important truth that is of eternal significance. And here he was talking to Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. In verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Allow me to unpack for you the richness of God's word from this passage. And we will start with a brief understanding of who is Nicodemus. He is only mentioned here in the Gospel of John and nowhere else in the Bible. He is a Jew with a Greek name, so that's interesting, and a respected teacher of the law. He is also a prominent leader of the Jewish religious sect known as the Pharisees, who prided themselves on living their lives separate from things and from people that might possibly contaminate them either spiritually or physically because they were strict in their so-called holy living for God. We know that God doesn't do random. So the introduction of this man, Nicodemus, in this story is not just significant, but pivotal in revealing the truth that God wants to show us. And I want to highlight very quickly three key points from this passage in John chapter 3. The first is this, you must be born again. Being born again or the spiritual birth is a very important subject and is one of the most essential doctrines of the Word of God. I don't think we realize the power, the impact, and the access that we have when we are born again. So what I've done is I've drawn up a simple comparison table to help you understand the significance of this born again experience. The first comparison is between physical birth and spiritual birth. I think it is safe to assume that everyone here in this room has been born once. Some of you are not sure. I'm worried. We all should be born once, unless you're a clone. But in verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to understand that everything in our spiritual walk starts with being born again. Now, the thing about the physical birth is that you have no choice. It was somebody else's choice, not yours. It was your parents' choice. But in a spiritual birth, you have a choice and you have to choose whether you want to be born again from above. Now, the second comparison is between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Unlike the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John very seldom uses the term kingdom of God in his writings. In fact, this is probably the only place in the Bible where it appears, and therefore again emphasizing the significance of the message that Jesus was trying to tell us. When you're born again by the Spirit, you have access to the kingdom of God, which is far superior than the kingdom of this world. So what is in the kingdom of God? Besides love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the wonderful aspects of the kingdom, you have the powers of God's kingdom coming for you, as helping you, be moving in the prophetic, in healings, in miracles, and signs, and wonders, and many other wonderful things. And may I add that in the kingdom of God, it is recession-proof, it is inflation-proof, and you have access to an unlimited supply of resources for your every need. Amen. The other thing that we realize is that in the kingdom of this world operates on facts, whereas the kingdom of God operates on faith. Now, facts are like the law of gravity. Everything on earth is subjected to this law. But there's a higher law that is greater than the law of gravity that can overcome it, and that's the law of aerodynamics. And that's the reason why a 560,000 kilogram jumbo jet can take off from the ground and fly in the air. I call this defying gravity. Faith operates just like the law of aerodynamics. You see, because faith doesn't deny the existence of facts, faith defies it. Faith defies it like the law of aerodynamics. The law of gravity is there, but the law of aerodynamics defies the law of gravity. And that's why when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're effecting the kingdom of God into our situation, into our environment. And that's why when a person that's pronounced medically incurable, when the person gets healed, the kingdom of God and the powers of the kingdom has come into the body of that person. So it is possible. It is remarkable. Amen. And the third comparison is between natural mind and supernatural mind. Nicodemus couldn't understand, how can a grown man re-enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? He was confused because he took Jesus' statement literally instead of spiritually. He couldn't see because he was still reasoning with his natural, logical mind. But when you're born again, the natural mind is superseded by the supernatural mind. And that's where how you learn to see with the eyes of faith and call forth into existence the things of God that is yet seen. The fourth comparison is between water and spirit. Jesus said, unless a person is born of water and of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, being born of water speaks of the natural birth. Being born of the Spirit speaks of the spiritual birth. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you experience both the natural birth and the spiritual birth. Furthermore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, the Apostle Paul tells us this, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, it is very clear to us that our good works alone cannot save us. Our good works alone cannot save us and allow us to enter into heaven. Just because someone is a good person does not mean that he will go to heaven. If these people have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior into their hearts, they will not be allowed into heaven. They need a radical conversion. They need a spiritual birth by the Spirit. And the last comparison is between earthly father and heavenly father. All of us have fathers here on earth. So to be born again is a divine invitation to be born into God's spiritual family and to have that precious privilege to call the Almighty God our Heavenly Father. Think about it. That makes us sons and daughters of the Most High King. In other words, you are royalty. And so we have to learn to conduct ourselves like one, to behave like one. And so whenever you face a situation that is panicky, you are anxious about it, remember you are a son or daughter of the Most High King. With God, all things are possible. Pause and learn to look to Him and say, "Father, what shall we do? Please come true for me." That is the identity that He has given to each one of us when we are born again. Amen. Now, here's a quick look at the summary table. On the left side is a given. when you're born physically, you're introduced into the kingdom of this world. Then you have a natural mind and you have an earthly father. But the right side of the table is where I want to bring us to, that you'll see that when you're born again, all these things are available for you. You have full access to the kingdom of God. You can move in supernatural powers. You are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, and you have the privilege to call God your Heavenly Father. Wow, what an awesome privilege that we have. I don't think many of us have really realized this, understood this, and enter into the fullness that God has in store for you and I. And may we come to that realization today. And when you walk out of the service, we'll come to the full realization that I am a child of God. And whenever you say, I'm a child of God, look at the table on the right. These are all available for you. So Cornerstone, walk in it. Amen. Then in verse 7, Jesus said, you must be born again. In other words, no one is born a Christian. Not even if you're born into a Christian family. You have to choose to be one. Now, there are no 10 ways or 2 ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. And when you understand this, the gift of salvation is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. And when you receive this gift, you know that that's more than just a gift. That's a revelation into the realm of the kingdom of God that awaits you. And so we expect to see many people being born again over the next few weeks as we celebrate Christmas with the Christmas production and into 2025. Amen. I want to pause and pray because 2 days ago on Friday afternoon, I had lunch with my mom. And my mom told me this, I'm getting water baptized on 25th December, 2024, 11 a.m. If you know my family story, I prayed for 35 years for my parents. And within 35 days, the Lord did a wonderful work of a salvation in my family. My mom got saved at my dad's cremation service. She has completed Alpha course. She's even more on fire than me. She has a red pen and a blue pen, and she's underlining the Bible, you know. I want to encourage you. If there's anyone over here this morning, I want to pause and join you in prayer. If you're praying for a loved one that's yet to be saved, but you want to see them saved, would you lift up your hands? You want to just take a few moments to pray and contend for it and believe, Lord, that if you have done it for my parents, for my mom, you will do it for us because you are a faithful God. Lord, you see the hands that are lifted up all across this auditorium. Lord, we thank you that you're a faithful God, that you wish that none shall perish, Lord. So we pray for every hand that's lifted up. We join and agree in prayer that they shall be safe, Lord. That born again, Lord, that this in this house, that there should be many more spiritual babies being born into the kingdom of God. We give you all the praise and the glory in advance for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. The second point is to have a seeking heart and mind. Nicodemus took the risk and went to see Jesus at night because he's probably afraid that the other Pharisees will find out what he did. But he was desperate. By coming to Jesus, Nicodemus was acknowledging who he is. He called Jesus rabbi or teacher, whereas the other Pharisees called Jesus a sinner. Nicodemus wanted to seek spiritual understanding and learn from Jesus, especially how he turned water into wine. These signs that he saw in John chapter 2, one chapter before this. But Jesus told him that he won't get it until there's a spiritual birth in his spirit, because the human natural mind cannot understand all the things of God. You see, Nicodemus came seeking knowledge, but Jesus offered him life. Because in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but he met the light of the world. And God shined his light into Nicodemus's life. And that's what Jesus will do for you. When you come to him seeking in desperation, instead of knowledge, you get the life that is in God. Wow, what a wonderful promise. Now, the third point is my favorite because it says to be like the wind. It was during my quiet time with the Lord where I had one of those faith-charged moments where you pray anything and you claim everything under the sun. And I found myself praying and asking God this audacious question. How can I defeat the evil one? How can I defeat the devil? Now, I know that Jesus won the victory for us on the cross, and he will probably direct me to the passage in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, we've defeated the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto death. But I was looking for something more practical to apply in my life. And the Lord knows. So, and I felt the Holy Spirit directed me to John chapter 3, verse 8. And it says here, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, this is one of those verses in the Bible that baffles me. How does this verse answer my earlier question? And the other thing is this, what does the wind have to do with defeating the evil one? When you don't know what to do, you go back to God. Say, God, please explain to me. And the Holy Spirit said, read again. I read it several times. And then I got it. I saw it. One of the keys to defeating the evil one and his influence over your life is to be as unpredictable as the wind. Think about it. The only person on earth that can defeat and overcome the evil one is the Holy Spirit. And he's with us and he's for us. The enemy is predictable, but the Holy Spirit's move is unpredictable like the wind. The enemy is a created being, but the Holy Spirit, he is the creator. And that's why God will never allow himself to be reduced to a formula, to be fixed in a pattern, or into an idol. The religious people will want to do that, but God wants us to seek him daily for a fresh download, a fresh word, a fresh revelation from heaven. Why eat stale things when you have a fresh bread in the house? Amen? And so I just came back from the UK, and there are churches everywhere. And some of the churches that I've been to used to be powerhouses of God, shaking nations through the prayers and the mission work that came out from those churches. But sadly today, they are just monuments visited by tourists. You see, monuments are iconic, but movements are catalytic. And we want to be movements of God in our church, in our lives, that God wants to ignite again those movements. If you are feeling a bit static this morning, I feel that God wants to jolt you out and move you on in the things of God in your life. Amen. And if you look in the Bible, some of God's plans and strategies don't always make sense. Some may even seem unconventional or counterintuitive. It's unpredictable, just like the wind. Let me give you a few examples. In the story of David and Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the odds were stacked against David. A small boy untrained in warfare against a giant who is a seasoned warrior. David had absolutely no chance of winning, but he overcame the odds by being unpredictable. You see, Goliath expected David to walk up to him and fight him up close when he said in verse 44, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But verse 48 tells us that instead of walking up to meet Goliath face to face, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And while he was running, he reached into his bag, took out a smooth stone and slung it and struck Goliath on his forehead, and Goliath fell face down on the ground. And that's why we say Goliath had to go Goliath down. So never name somebody Goliath. Sure, go down, right? And David cut off his head using Goliath's own sword and killed him. Now, in military terms, Goliath was expecting an infantry-style, unarmed combat fight. But David didn't follow Goliath's rule. Instead, he charged towards Goliath like a rolling artillery gun. And with that momentum, he fired off a cannonball towards Goliath. Now, how does it apply in the business world? This element of surprise in the business world is what we call disruptions. Think blockchains, think cryptocurrencies, or closer to home, think Grab private hire versus the traditional taxis. When Grab came into the market, they didn't follow the traditional taxis rule. Why? Because Grab is not a taxi company. Grab is a technology company. But look at what Grab has disrupted the whole traditional taxi model. Today, the fleet of cars under Grab is probably 2 times more than the fleet of cars under the traditional taxis. The examples, we can go on and on. But my point is, I want to pray that may God give you a download of creative ideas like this divine disruptions, or what I call game changers, in your field of work, in your industries, in the projects that you're handling and undertaking, in the businesses that you're in, all for His glory. Amen. Now, what about King Jehoshaphat, my second example, who sent the choir army to the battlefront instead of the usual soldiers, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In all of military history, if you are a military person, this must have been one of the most unconventional ways to defend a country under siege. King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, faced a terrifying challenge when a massive alliance of armies, the enemies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites, and all the ites and the mosquito bites and the cellulites. No, the last two isn't from the Bible. Don't quote me. March against him. They were vastly outnumbered and defeat seemed inevitable. Jehoshaphat turned to God, proclaimed a nationwide fast, gathered the people, humbled themselves before God and prayed. In verse 12, we have no power to face this vast enemy that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Sometimes that's all the prayer you need. We do not know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. We don't have to think of many wonderful prayers, but sometimes those prayers, these prayers, simple prayers, are enough. Why? Because we see that in the next morning, Jehoshaphat appointed singers and the worship team as directed by the Lord to go ahead of the army, leading them in worship with the enemy surrounding them. They begin to sing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. And sing they did, and they won the battle, defeated all the enemies without even lifting a sword. Because God fought on their behalf as they obeyed and followed God's strategy. God caused confusion in the enemy's camp and they attack and destroy each other. And so by the time Jehoshaphat's army arrived at the battlefield, they found no enemies left except dead bodies. And the Bible says that they spent 3 days collecting all the abundant spoils of the enemies. Perhaps like King Jehoshaphat, you may feel overwhelmed in your situation. For some of us, you could be at the crossroads of your life, or even for others, you could be at the end of the road. I want to say this to you, that you might feel that you are outnumbered by the circumstances and situation, but you are never outpowered, because the Holy Spirit is empowering you. All you need to do is just come before the Lord and say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You keep your eyes on the Lord and He will power you through your trials and your circumstances. Amen. When Simon Peter was walking on water, kept his eyes on Jesus, what happened? He walked on water. But the moment the storm came, the Bible tells us, the clouds came, when he shifted his eyes away from Jesus and focused on the storms and the clouds, he began to sing. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. So, and also one more thing. Remember that worship isn't just a Sunday activity. It is a powerful weapon for spiritual warfare anytime, anywhere. Amen. Now, in the New Testament, you see a similar pattern of unpredictability as well. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 42 and 43. It says that when Jesus was 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. So here's the backstory. For the first 11 years, as a young boy, Jesus accompanied his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And then he would travel back home with them once it was over, as were their custom. So for when Jesus was 1 year old, he followed his parents back. When Jesus was 2 years old, he followed his parents back. When Jesus was 3 years old, until when Jesus was 11 years old, he followed his parents back. But something happened when he was 12 years old. He did a U-turn on his parents. He didn't follow them home, but stayed back in Jerusalem to engage the religious teachers. And everyone who heard him, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Sometimes we assume that while we're doing God's work, God will always show up. Sometimes we assume that He will follow us wherever we go. But what if the custom that we are accustomed to is no longer what God wants to do? In 2025, don't live on the same old, because like we said, be as unpredictable as the wind. The Holy Spirit is the only person that knows how to defeat the evil one. If you're not getting breakthrough in this area, change a different way. Allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to direct you and lead you, because He is the only one that knows how to defeat the enemy. Amen? So are you hearing the wind of the Spirit blowing in your life? Or you're still insistent on keeping to your tradition? This is always the way I've been, so I will stick to it. May the Lord speak to us through this. Amen. One more example. There were three accounts where Jesus healed blind men in the Gospels, but He didn't use the same method for all three of them. For the blind man at Bethsaida, found in Mark chapter 8, Jesus spit on his eyes, laid his hands on him, but the blind man wasn't healed immediately, because he says that he saw people walking like trees. And then Jesus placed his hands on his eyes again, and this time his eyesight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. But that wasn't the case for blind Bartimaeus, the second person in Mark chapter 10. He was healed immediately when Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly, Bartimaeus wasn't blind anymore and he could follow Jesus down the road. When it came to the man born blind, the third example found in John chapter 9, Jesus spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva, and anointed the blind man's eyes with clay and told him to wash at the pool of Siloam. And so he went, washed, and he came back seeing. None of the healing methods were the same, although the three men suffered from the same condition, which is blindness. Now you may ask, now, practically, how can this unpredictability be applied to me? Let me give you a few examples. The first one is my favorite. When there's every reason for you to be upset or angry, but you choose love and patience. The closest example is this morning when you come to church, you have signaled left to turn to the small road leading to church, but suddenly another car from the opposite direction just cut into your lane and took over that slot. And then you realize, oh, church member. So you smile and wave and bless the person. Yeah, I had a hard time writing this example because I'm not convinced myself too. We are all work in progress, amen? So we must learn to be like the wind, wave and smile and bless the person and let the person go first, right? When you're too dignified to lift your hands or dance before the Lord, do it anyway, because God loves His children dancing and rejoicing before Him. Or when people in your office start quitting because the company isn't doing well, you stay on and finish every piece of assignment with excellence. Why? Because when it's time to release you, the Lord will. But until then, do not look around at your environment. It is frustrating when I hear stories of church members. You walk through this journey with them. You pray so hard with them. They landed a job. They enjoyed it for a while until troubles and problems started coming up, surfacing. And then they said, "Oh, I'm going to quit." I said, "Why?" "This morning when I went to office, my office access pass couldn't work. So it's a sign that it's time to move on." I said, "What rubbish is this?" You know, at the slightest and the quickest sign, you quit. But you pray so hard and tell people that this is the job that God, and you're praising God for it. I don't find it honoring when you do that to the Lord. Until the Lord releases you, you stay in the job. When people are quitting, you will come to a place where when the company is doing well, you're the only person that you get promoted. Why? Because you're the only person left. Which is... It was my testimony, by the way. No, not the access pass, but the promotion pass. When you're thinking of walking out of the marriage because it's becoming unbearable, you choose to stay on and work it out because you know that God is as committed to this marriage as you are. I know it's not easy, but hey, we're all here. We will walk through step by step with you. When coming for prayer meeting is not your priority in your schedule, make it your priority. Can I encourage you to do that in the year 2025? We just finished the last prayer meeting yesterday. It was a fantastic time. So look out for the schedule for the prayer meetings. Come. I know prayer meetings can be scary. I was traumatized by prayer meetings as a young Christian. I remember when our church first started about 30 years ago, Pastor Young had announced in the service that there's a prayer meeting coming up and extended the invitation to the church. There were only about a few hundred of us. So who would like to join him? So I did. I was a young Christian. I was on fire for the Lord. And so I went. When Pastor Young saw me at a prayer meeting, he was delighted. He must be thinking, "Wow, Kevin is here. Revival must be coming, right?" prayer meeting started and I was in Pastor Young's group. Wow, the people in my group can really pray. You know, they were like seasoned prayer warriors. They knew the right words to say. They quoted powerful scriptures and their prayers were like calling down fire from heaven. And then one of them suggested, since we're all from different churches, why don't we all hold hands and go one round and pray in a circle as a sign of unity? Now, if you know my story, as an introvert, this is the last thing you want to hear. Let's go one round and pray, because it will sure come to your turn, right? If it's random, at least you can skip. So while they were seeking what to pray, holding hands, I was seeking excuses to escape. But because they were gripping my hand so tightly, I couldn't shake it off. And soon, it was my turn. And you guessed it right, I froze. My heart was pumping so hard that I feel it coming out from my mouth. You know, I can feel the heartbeat, you know, like never before. Everybody was waiting for me to pray, but I just couldn't open my mouth. You know, that back then, as a young Christian, I was taught that when you don't know what to pray, very safe, just pray scriptures. That time, I only know two scriptures. Both are, I don't think they are appropriate. First one, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. The second one worse, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I said, no, this is not going to work. Soon that prayer meeting became praying for me. Pastor Young prayed for me to pray something. Lord, give my brother something to pray. Put words in his mouth. Let the fire of God come upon him. If you ask me then, I felt more like I was in the lake of fire than a baptism of fire experience. But still, I couldn't utter a single word. And I felt terrible. Later on, I found out that that prayer meeting was for pastors and leaders. And in my group, or Pastor Young's group, senior pastors and bishops of different denominations. It's like, oh my goodness, kind of moment, right? But I've since learned to just pray and learn to flow with the Spirit. It will take some time, but don't give up. Keep pressing in. I love what Psalms 81 verse 10 says. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. So next time when you don't know what to do, open wide your mouth and say, God, please fill it. When people don't expect you to pray, you pray anyhow. Amen. I'm sure your introduction to prayer meetings is not as dramatic and traumatic as mine. So you have no more excuses not to attend prayer meetings. When you don't feel like going to church because you didn't start your morning right, or you just had an argument with your spouse on the way to church and you want to do a U-turn and go back home, don't. Come to church. And I'm so glad so many of you did, you know, because the answer to your situation could be found in that weekend's message, worship, or the people that you meet could be the answer and the solution to the problem that you're facing. Or when you don't feel like responding to the altar call because the message is average or the preacher is boring, respond anyway. Don't let the enemy steal your breakthrough at the altar area. Well, you get my point. What I'm saying is that respond the opposite of what your body is reacting to. Because there comes a time in your life that you must throw away the oars of predictability and set your sail up and catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. Hear the sound, flow with him, and follow his leading. For it is not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Here's a quick recap of the 3 points. Number one, you must be born again. Yesterday, Saturday after service, two families came down with 4 children and 3 children, 7 of them. I explained to them because they asked me, how do I get born again? I want to be born again. So I led 7 kids to salvation yesterday after the service. You know. So if you are sitting here in this auditorium and you're not born again, you don't know what receiving Jesus into your heart means, I want to encourage you after the service, come to the front, come to me. I want to personally pray for you because it is a wonderful experience. It's the beginning of what the Lord has in store for you. Amen. Now, having a seeking heart and mind is my point number two. Nicodemus was desperate. And in his desperation, he took the risk and came to Jesus by night. But Jesus introduced himself as the light of the world to this man who came to him by night. And more than that, his desperation gave him an audience, an encounter with Jesus. Because the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I started with Nicodemus. as a man, a Jew, a Jewish religious teacher. In John chapter 19, verse 39 to 40, tells us this. So did Nicodemus in the end receive Jesus into his heart and born again? I believe so. In verse 39 of John chapter 19, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bring a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds, that's about 35 kilograms. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound in strips of linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews that day. Nicodemus, unsafe, not born again, questioned Jesus, but had an encounter with Jesus. Nicodemus, in chapter 19, he's a follower of Christ, follower of Jesus. This is God's amazing story, that the transformation story of Nicodemus. A man came questioning God and a man ended up following Jesus, because unless you love a person, you wouldn't take the risk publicly to take the body of Jesus down and give a good, proper burial. But this is what Nicodemus did. I mean, there's so many things that God has done through this man and me. Our lives mirror that of Nicodemus. Amen. And the third one is to be like the wind. Cornerstone, can I challenge you as you approach 2025? To be as unpredictable as the wind, and to do that which is right and pleasing in the eyes of God. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer, and let's look to the Lord in prayer. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I wonder if there's anyone here today who would say to the Lord, Lord, I want to just throw away the oars of predictability. I've been controlling everything in my life. I hear your word, I hear this message, and today I want to put the oars aside and set the sail up to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit, to hear the sound, to let it blow and let you, Lord, direct my life. And if that is you this morning, I want to encourage you to just come forward to the front at the altar area and just make a commitment, a fresh commitment to the Lord, even as the worship team leads us in the chorus. It's between you and the Lord. And making a fresh commitment, say, God, I want to just throw away the oars of control, the oars of predictability, and set my sail up. It's a brand new year that's coming. I want to do it differently. Because many people want change, but very few want to change. I want to be that few, Lord, this morning, that will want to change, Lord, because I don't want to live in the same old, Lord. And so even as the worship team leads in the time of in the chorus, I want to encourage you, if that's you this morning, just come to the front and we want to just pray with you. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.